latest episode of the Noto Data Bytes. I'm your host Neha, and our guest this week is Katrina Breeders, who's our Senior Product Marketing Manager for the Asia Pacific region here at Denoto. We are super excited to talk to you guys about how to create an agile BI infrastructure using data virtualization. But before we jump in to discuss today's topic, a quick introduction about Katrina's background. Her expertise lies in IT, covering areas of software development, project delivery, software sales, and marketing. A very warm welcome to our show, Katrina. We are super excited to speak with you for the second time on our series. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your tech background for new business, please?
Yeah, hi, and it's great to be back. Thank you for having me again. Just a bit of background. I joined Denoto, it's coming up 2 years ago now, and I've really been enjoying working with the Denoto Logical Data Platform. As a data professional, I love working with data, and to see new approaches to data management and how we deliver data is really exciting. In the past, I've worked not only for data integration companies, but also business intelligence companies as well, and worked on various business intelligence projects. So I fully understand the challenges with agility and the complexity of delivering these types of solutions. So hopefully I can leverage some of that experience today in our discussion.
Thanks, Katrina. That's wonderful to hear. So let's begin our discussion then. So does a data fabric approach to data management and data delivery align with creating an agile BI infrastructure? And how does data virtualization help there?
So a few questions there, but let me try and break it down. First of all, a data fabric is really an architectural pattern or approach to your data architecture across the enterprise. And you can use different technologies to support a data fabric style approach, one of which is the Denoto Logical Data Platform, which uses a data integration approach or style that we call data virtualization. And data virtualization builds a logical layer across all of your data assets. So it really can accelerate data delivery. It can enable businesses to deliver data faster. And by doing that, you're able to then react or respond and action things more quickly and easily, you know, within the business.
What is the difference between traditional BI and agile BI, according to you?
Okay, good question. Because both approaches can be quite valid in different scenarios, but let's dissect it a little. Agile business intelligence really refers to a more flexible or dynamic business intelligence architecture that can quickly adapt to the changing needs of the business. So that's really more of a, you know, obviously an agile approach, whereas more traditional business intelligence or BI relies on more traditional data delivery methods or building of data pipelines, such as ETL processes that move data into a target repository, or, you know, such as a data warehouse. So this process of moving and preparing data for consumption can be very slow and take a lot of effort and be costly at the end of the day. So that's really the key differences. It comes down to, if you want to look at it in a very simplistic manner, it's about, do you need to physicalize the data in every case when you're delivering on a data initiative? Is there a better way, you know, a more faster alternative method to do it? So traditional methods usually move and model data at different stages, and with every layer of modeling the data within the architecture adds to the complexity and really makes it harder to maintain, and the costs are higher. So that's really the difference in summary.
Thanks, Katrina. That explains it pretty well. So moving on to next question. Tell us a little bit more about creating an agile BI infrastructure using data virtualization.
So data virtualization, as I said, is a technique that allows you to create a logical data layer, model the data in a logical fashion. So you do that and you expose that logical model to the consuming applications or the business intelligence tools that might be being used or might need to use that data. So this really, by providing that logical layer, this really removes the complexities of where the data is coming from and how it's being integrated together and all the business rules for doing that or the logic for combining and aggregating the data to prepare it for consumption. So It means that there's a single place for managing all of that logic and maintaining that logic of how data is connected to and accessed and how it's brought together and how it's governed, and or it allows it to be governed and secured and managed in a single place. So it really helps to provide that agility, but it also helps to avoid the data inconsistencies that you might get when you've got a number of different business intelligence tools across an organization accessing data and pulling it in different methods. There's more scope for error, and there's, which leads to less trust in the data.
Right. So then why are existing approaches not agile enough to meet the on-time information needs of consumers? How does an agile BI solve the problem then?
So when it comes to really data delivery, there's two components to this. There's the data currency, how fresh the data should be. And then there's the delivery of the data through the data initiative. So that's the process of actually bringing together the data, modeling it, preparing for consumption. So if we look at the data currency, first of all, really a lot of BI tools will work against a data warehouse, or they might be able to work directly against the operational system. They typically, a lot of the advanced analytics tools have some sort of cubing technology and so forth. So there is a bit of physicalization there, but they don't always draw directly from the source. And when they do, as I said before, the logic by which that data is accessed is duplicated. But in terms of the currency, to get fresh data or the most current data, you need to go to the source. So that's where data virtualization can help. But the other area is around the speed to delivery. You know, anyone who's worked in the BI world knows that as soon as you deliver on a data initiative, there's a requirement for more or something different. So being able to address new business data needs quickly and easily is what Agile is all about. So self-service tools have gone part of the way to enable that more self-service capability and allow businesses to be more self-sufficient and have that agile approach. However, it has added some more complexities and uncertainties and a little bit of, led to lack of trust in some of the data. So exposing data in a logical layer where it can be accessed centrally, but having that distributed data infrastructure using a method like the logical data platform that Donato provides is a really good technique to help with those two factors.
So self-service tools are much quicker and trustable, though they come with their own set of complexities, right? So then how does data virtualization increase the effectiveness and penetration of BI initiatives?
So I think I've already answered that almost with that last comment.
Almost, yes. But just to get a little more information on this one.
For an example, if I'm building a report using a BI tool, it could be Tableau, it could be Power BI, it could be MicroStrategy. Take your pick. But first of all, what we need is to build a connection to the source data tables. We need to understand the logic to prepare and combine those tables together. And then we need to visualize the data. Now, each BI user that's building a report that's similar will go through the same process. So there's parts of that can be really repurposed and reused. And that's the connection to the data that's managed through a data virtualization layer, and how the data is combined or modeled, joined together in SQL terms, and you know all the security around that. So if there's PII data, then that can be made secure in one place and managed in one place. So it's that single place for governance, security, but also a place you can go to find data, discover what data is available for use across the organization.
Perfect. So can you share a case study with us where data virtualization has demonstrated increased agility to meet complex information needs for a business?
Yeah, we've got, at Donato, we've got lots of custom stories we can share, and feel free to go on to our website and have a look because there's some great stories there. But one that comes to mind is always one of our local but global customers, and that's BHP. And what they did leveraging the Donato data, logical data platform, is establish a logical data fabric. And what that does for them is makes it easier for business users to find and access the different data stores that they have across all of their worldwide operations. So for any sort of data-driven project, they've got a source to go to, one-stop shop for all their data needs. So BHP deployed Denodo in different clusters across the major geographies that they have a presence in and aligned it with their cloud strategies as well in terms of some of those initiatives. But essentially what they're able to do is, from my understanding, is minimize a lot of their data engineering efforts when it comes to data delivery. So a lot of what I just talked about, instead of repeatedly creating a new physical data repository for every project, they now leverage, if and when possible, a logical layer to better service the data consumers and really start to deliver data in real time. So yeah, we've got some great stories to tell.
Perfect. So minimizing data engineering efforts when it comes to data delivery was a key point there. Thanks, Katrina. This has been a wonderful session. It was really good to explore how to create an agile BI infrastructure with data virtualization today with you. And now it's time for a quick Q&A round, as you've experienced already once before. So let's get started. Are you ready?
Sure.
So my first question for you is, who has influenced you most when it comes to how you approach your work?
Okay. So this always comes back to disciplines, I think. And, you know, there's many people that have influenced me, mainly non-famous people, I'd have to say. But a person that springs to mind is my first manager. And when I was a trainee software engineer, I worked for a person called Tian Ku. And he was from China, but lived in Australia. And he worked for the software company that I worked for here locally in North Sydney. And one day we were all coding away and I managed to delete everyone's code that we were working on the server. And there was no backup, right? And we hadn't really thought about that. And so everyone lost their work and I was pretty unpopular for the rest of the day, at least. And guess what? Guess who got the regular backup duties from that day forward? I did. So I learned a pretty valuable lesson that day, and I am fanatical about backing up to this day. It doesn't matter what it is. I will make sure I've got a backup of it because I've learned the hard way.
Oh my God, that's a crazy story. But I think, in all honesty, we've all been there, you know, like fresh out of college in the real world. And we sometimes end up making such mistakes. But I think it's more important that we learn from it. And like you said, like how we handle it, and it ends up becoming a life lesson. So my next question for you is, what would we most likely find you doing on the weekend?
Oh, okay. Well, I'd be mostly helping. We're renovating our house at the moment. So we're doing a lot of work around the house and, you know, hanging out with my daughter when I can and my dog. We live near the beach, so we spend quite a bit of time at, you know, going to and fro the beach as well. So that's, you know, sounds pretty boring, but lots of activity, actually.
Sounds wonderfully relaxing, actually, especially during COVID and what with all the lockdowns. It's really nice to work on something creative to take the stress away for a bit.
Yeah. Oh, it's been great to be located near the water and near the beach as well. When you're only allowed to go out for exercise, you're still really nice to be in that environment.
That would be so calming. So definitely. And my last question is, if you could choose a superpower, what would it be?
I have thought about this before, but I'm not sure if it is a superpower, but I think time traveling would be pretty good to give it a try, I'd say. That would be an alternative to a great holiday, I think, going somewhere else in time. But yeah, I think that would be my choice.
Ah, nice answer. I'm a bit of a history buff myself. So imagine all the major world events you could witness. That sounds really interesting. Such a wonderful session, Katrina. It was a lot of fun talking to you today. Thank you for joining us on this data journey.
Yeah, thanks again for having me. And as I said, we've got lots of stories to tell. So I hope you've enjoyed the talk and I've given you some insight into some of the different ways in which you can approach data delivery.
And a quick message to our listeners, if you've enjoyed this episode, please head over to www.denodo.com/podcast to find out more resources on all things data.